Okay, let me ask you a question now. Do you think God ever looks down on Fort Bend County and says, you know, Fort Bend County is such a wonderful place to live, and so many surveys, it ranks up there as being one of the most terrific places to live in all of the country. And we would agree with that, right? Hello, we would agree with that, right? Yeah, it's a wonderful place to live. You think God ever looks down on Fort Bend County and says, look at that, it's a wonderful place to live. They got the new Smart Financial Center with one cool concert after another. They really don't need me. They just really don't need me. They don't need a relationship with Jesus because look at that. It's a wonderful place. And some of you, sometimes you might even get blinded by some of that affluence as well, where you, thank you, Steve, where you look around at the affluence and you think, oh, well, they don't really need much. God looks at that person and looks at so many people in Fort Bend County, and no matter what they're wearing or where they're living or what they're driving, often he says, if they don't have a relationship with me, they are, to use the words of Jesus, they're sheep without a shepherd. They may be a well-dressed sheep without a shepherd, but they're a sheep without a shepherd. Listen, my friends, we're all living, we're all going to die, and everyone in this room is going to face an eternity either with or without Christ. And the greatest gift you will ever give to any person, a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, your own child, is to introduce that person to the God who created them, who loves them, who wants a relationship with them, and who has an eternal purpose for their life. So, what you believe matters, and we believe as believers that sharing our faith is important. Listen, it's not just good for the person who hears you, it's good for you. There's something you experience in Christ. As the Bible would say, you get a full understanding when you're engaged in wanting to take your faith and point people in the direction of our Lord and Savior. So, how can we improve as followers of Jesus in this mandate to take the good news out there? All right, I've got a few thoughts. I want to hang my thoughts on five pegs today. Moving through this fairly quickly. Point number one. It's important, number one, to know our core message. To know the core message. Because in sharing our faith, we want to make sure we work from the inside out, and not so much from the outside in. 2 Corinthians 5. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. And all of this, get this, is a what? A gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ, and now God has given us this task, this wonderful ministry of reconciling people to him. And so here we are, he says, verse 20, we are Christ's ambassadors. That's who we are. And God is making his appeal, God is getting his message out to the world through us. And we speak for Christ when we plead. Here's the core message, you ready? Come back to God. Come back to God, everybody. Come back to God. Come back to God. Well, how, Ronnie? You don't know where I've been, what I've done. It's been a long time. I'm not sure I ever knew the gospel. Here it is in one statement, verse 21. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. The core message is that salvation is not the result of our goodness. Salvation issues from the goodness of God expressed in Jesus Christ. God sent Jesus to be our sin offering. He died in our place, and as you've heard me say many times, he didn't just die for you. He died a particular kind of death for you. He tasted spiritual death for you so that you might never experience that. And we are now. We can be at peace with God only through Christ. So, let me ask you, you have a firm grasp on that core message? To quote the Apostle Paul elsewhere in the New Testament, he would say, here's the core message. You ready? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he said, and I qualify for that. He said, because I am the chief of sinners. And it is by the grace of God that we can be saved. As one person has well said in the gospel, we discover that we're far worse off than we realize and far more loved than we can even imagine. You know, the most quoted statement in the Bible is John 3:16. But have you paid attention to the verbs? For God so who loves? God's taking the initiative. For God so loved that he, what does God do? God takes this wonderful initiative, and you need never think that God's love for you is not real and true. He doesn't want one single person in all of creation to be a sheep without a shepherd. All right. Christ in love came to this world to save sinners. That's the core message. And we don't start at the edges. We start at the core. And we work from the inside out. Second peg is this. Cultivate God's heart for all people. For all people. Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, starting at verse 27. After this, Jesus went out and he saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at a tax booth. And Levi is also Matthew. In other words, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is the Matthew. Sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. And then it's party time. Verse 29. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus says this, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I've not to come those who think that they're righteous and don't need a Savior. I've come to call those who know they need a Savior." And notice, he doesn't put any artificial barriers on this. Not at all. And we, likewise, need to embrace the expansiveness of God's mission. Jesus, as a strategy in making disciples, first of all, made friends. And he ate with people. And he said, you know, you may not be where I would love for you to be someday, but as of today, I'm willing to have a conversation with you. I'm willing to be a friend to you. I'm willing to love you where you are, not just where I want you to be. And it's out of those, and it's out of the context of those friendships that God can work. But it starts by genuinely caring for people. Our world likes to emphasize the differences among us in race and viewpoints and economics. But the mercy of God, it calls us to realize that there's really no ultimate difference because we all stand in need of the mercy of God and the message of grace, the message of renewal and redemption. It cannot be limited by the boundaries of race or status, even by sin. No matter what has happened in the past, Christ is much more interested in today. What now? Let's move forward. And the Bible from cover to cover is giving the message that there is renewal and redemption and forgiveness in Christ. So much so, and God's heart for this is so strong, that Jesus said these words in Luke 15, There's more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. It's important that as his people, we embrace this heart for all. Yes, have a heart for all, but also have a heart for that next one as well. Here's my third point today. Maximize your influence. Maximize your influence because you have it. Jesus, in talking about our influence, says in Matthew 5, "You are the light of the world. In a town that's built on a hill, it cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand." And notice, it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus says, let the light out. Let it shine. Because yes, faith is taught, but it's also caught. And look around at your wake. And in your wake, are you leaving a trail of negativity, pessimism, faithlessness? Or are you leaving an inspirational wake and a trail of faith, hope, and love that's rooted in our big and great and wonderful God? Listen, you say, oh, I'm not the kind of person with a big influence. Yes, you are. God does something terrific and abundant, often with very humble beginnings. He's the kind of God who can take 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed thousands. And he's always done great things with humble things. Some of you remember a juncture in your life where someone influenced you in a profound way. And that person was probably not someone very well known, average, ordinary, but a lover of Jesus. And in some way, they touched you at a critical juncture. And you can pass that on. And whenever you point another person in some way in the direction of Jesus, you're letting your light shine. Which leads to the fourth thing I want to say. Trust your partner. And your partner here is God himself. I'm asking you to be engaged in a divine collaboration. All right, everybody, it's been 2 weeks since most of us have watched any football. So I need to use a football illustration today, right? Maybe some of you watched the game, the NFL playoff game between the Minnesota Vikings and the New Orleans Saints. I didn't watch the whole game. I was actually walking through the living room, flipped on the TV and saw literally the last 2 minutes of the game where New Orleans is driving down the field. They score a go-ahead touchdown with, you know, seconds to go. So Minnesota now has the ball on like their own 38-yard line. They're not even close enough to throw the Hail Mary crap pass into the end zone. They're on like their own 38-yard line. And, you know, their quarterback is Case Keenum. Super young man, strong Christian, played his college football right here for U of H, played for the Texans for a bit, been sort of a journeyman in the NFL, but had just a great, great season this year with Minnesota. So I'm kind of watching this, and I'm thinking, okay, this game's over. So 10 seconds to go in the game, and here's what happens.
They're figuring to save time, that's going to be where Keenum's going to try to work the ball in the boundary.
Now, after that game, here's what Case said. He said, in essence, all I was trying to do, in fact, the announcers were saying, all he did, Case just threw up a prayer. That's what he did. He threw up a prayer. That's it. He's throwing up a prayer. I mean, he's about to get hit. He's on his own 38. He can't even throw it as far as the end zone. He just throws up a prayer. And Kay said after the game, I was just trying to give my guy a chance to make a play. That's it. Just trying to give him a chance to make a play. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Give God a chance to show up and make a play. Be willing to share your faith and to point people in Christ's direction and give God a chance to show up. One time Paul was preaching, and here's a scripture out of Acts 16. And one of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. And notice, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. Notice it doesn't say Paul was on a roll that day. He was so eloquent. His persuasive skills couldn't be resisted. No. The gospel has its own power. And whenever we're pointing someone to Christ, there's a divine collaboration because God's already there. He's at work. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. That's why in 1 Corinthians 3, he'll say it like this. I planted, Apollos watered it. God has been engaged in a divine collaboration. Trust your partner. Some of you might remember Art and Pat Dickerson. Art and Pat Dickerson were members here for a number of years. Art was an executive for the Mercer Corporation. I think they now live in Georgia. I first met Art in another state. I was speaking at a church, and Art was actually an elder in that particular church, and he ended up through his business moving to Houston. Their conversion story, the way they came to Christ, is interesting. Art and Pat, they were complete unbelievers. Their marriage was on the rocks. They had already even filed for divorce. And a friend of theirs took a flyer, threw up a prayer, and just invited them to church. It might even have been a different church, or maybe just kind of pushed them, you know, to visit a church. So Art and Pat Dickerson walk in one day. Already filed for divorce. And as you know, this is probably true in your case, people don't become open to Christ all at once. But there's a little openness, and then they take a little next step, and a little next step, and a little next step. And something happened that day where there was an openness. Long story short, they rescinded the divorce plans. They come to Christ. They continue to grow in the Lord wherever they are, wherever they live. They are players, they are engaged, they are active in the work of Christ, all because somebody didn't say no for them and say, well, you know, they've already filed and, this, you know, they don't care. And then throw up a prayer. Give God a chance. I read a few years ago the story of Shelley Wift. Shelley Wift was actually a witch. And one Halloween, she's going with some of her witch friends to celebrate the holiday in Salem, Massachusetts. Shelley and her coven were on their way to meet up with some other witches when they were approached one evening by three Christian college kids who were out doing just some street evangelism. They were handing out little pamphlets. They were giving out free Bibles. They were just trying to, you know, do a little street evangelism. Shelley said that all of her fans were, you know, making fun of the kids and just arguing and being very demeaning. And Shelley said she was doing the same thing. But she said, but she was sort of impressed with them. She was impressed with their demeanor. And she actually took one of the free Bibles that they gave. She said when they got to Salem, that night in her hotel room, she spent the night reading the Bible. And the next day, she took a bus back to New York City. She found a church, becomes a Christian, baptized into Christ, continues to grow and develop. And in the article, she said this, "I wish I had gotten the names of those three students. I have always wished I could write them a letter just to tell them how they've changed my life." God's at work. You don't ever have to feel the burden of controlling a situation. No. Take a flyer. Throw up a prayer. Give God a chance to make a play. Last of all, number five, your own story carries weight. Your own story. As you use your story, your history, your experiences to tell God's story. My goodness, most of us were here 2 weeks ago when Michael Francis spoke, and what a great job he did. And if you were not here, go to our website and watch that message. Michael Francis, once listed as one of the 50 most powerful mafia figures in America, he told this story at the close of his message. He said, out of those 50 people listed in that nationwide magazine, 47 are dead, 2 are in prison. I served time in prison, and here I am today speaking to you and testifying to you that my life has changed. My heart's changed. My mind has been changed. Everything about me is different, he said. And let me tell you who my hero is now. My hero is my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. You remember, and he went on and he said, everybody, heaven and hell are real places. We're not playing games here. The best decision, the most important decision you will ever make is to embrace Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. And as you do that, listen, the message of Christianity, not a one of us is ideal and perfect. We're not qualified to be Savior. Jesus is qualified to be our Savior. We're not. But we can be authentic and real. We all have things we're not proud of that the grace of God has touched. And as Brennan Manning has said, in a futile attempt to erase our past, we deprive the community of our healing gift. If we conceal our wounds out of fear and shame, our inner darkness can neither be illuminated nor become a light for others. But when we live as forgiven men and women, we join the wounded healers and we draw close to Jesus Christ. Your story carries weight. Everybody, what we believe matters, and we believe that God can use the experiences of sharing our faith to grow us and touch the lives of others. Now, listen carefully. God's inviting all of us to join His eternal story. Coming to Christ does not promise a here and now without trials, but Christ does promise a hope that endures through whatever this life brings your way. And when God writes, when God starts the final chapter in His story, in His narrative, believers win, and we win big. Praise God for the victory that we know through Christ Jesus.